It's time to tune up your taste buds and take a trip to culinary heaven, because we're live from Jasper's Kitchen, presented by Hen House. Sit back, relax, and enjoy something new from the wonderful world of delicious cooking with our favorite chef, Jasper Marabli, and his co-host, food journalist, Kimberly Stern.
Ah, Kimberly, we're back.
We are back, Jasper.
Back with a vengeance.
We are. What a show we have lined up today.
No kidding. I'm hungry.
We're going to go from country to city. We've got Upcycled Orchard in Garden City on. We've got New York City Kitchen on, the author of this fabulous cookbook from New York City. And we have Spin Pizza on. Love us some Spin. And we have Dr. Chad Schaefer on to talk to us about the celiac event that is next week out at the Community America Ballpark. He has some very interesting things he's going to talk about as far as celiac.
I would say it's a good show. Well, you and I have been spending the morning at a very special bake sale, we may like to call it.
Community bake sale, No Kid Hungry. It's still going on. It will go on through sellout. They usually sell out around 2 or 3, but it will go to 4. You can go and buy one of my lemon blueberry morning cakes.
And, of course, my Zeppelis are still packaged up. I saw a few on the table.
I think I'm going to buy the rest of those, Jay.
I'm getting that cake. I had that cake last year, lady.
But No Kid Hungry, of course, benefits No Kid Hungry, and it raises money to provide meals for kids that are underserved. Tomorrow is the Country Brunch, Bloody Mary Smackdown. What a fun event. It's at the Guild. The Guild, Jasper.
The Guild. The Guild. I got it.
And a Bloody Mary competition. Incredible brunch items from chefs and restaurants across the city. A great live auction, a silent auction. Great items. Like, you've got tickets for your supper club experience.
Oh, yeah.
There are culinary packages. And, of course, all that money goes to No Kid Hungry. You can go on to No Kid Hungry KC, still buy tickets.
Wow. You're a busy lady there, lady. I'll tell you that. Well, Kimberly, I don't know about you. I'm hungry. Our listeners are hungry. And we got to get home with the show. Live from Jasper's Kitchen is brought to you by Hen House Market. Hen House is your local market since 1923. And don't forget, Double Ad Wednesdays, 1 day, 2 ads. That's right. It's all about the certified Hereford beef at your local Hen House Market. Fresh Kansas City strips, only $7 each. That's unbelievable. And of course, that 93% lean ground beef. But for you, Miss Kimberly, it's all about the BOGO.
It certainly is, Jasper. The sea bass cooked shrimp, buy one, get one free.
Ooh, I'm liking that right now.
But you know what, Jasper? Large jack-o'-lanterns. Hen House has them.
That's right. We've been talking with the produce director, and he tells us the largest jack-o'-lanterns in Kansas City are at your neighborhood Hen House Market. 50 pounds or more, plus an assortment of over 30 different pumpkins. That's something else, Miss Kimberly.
And the large jack-o'-lanterns, Jasper? 3 of them for
$12. Mm-hmm. I think it may be a mistake in my ad. No kidding. 3 for $12 for a jack-o'-lantern. I'm going to load me up some of those. Kimberly, also, and all of our listeners, you're going to love my recipe this week. It's all about the Singapore noodles. One of my favorite dishes I've turned into my recipe of the week. And get ready for this. We're putting a little curry in this. It's a first for Jasper.
Wow, that's
mixed it up a little bit. It's Hen House Market, your market for 94 delicious years, including those delicious Tippins pies. Kimberly, fall season, it's upon us. The brisk mornings, pumpkins in the patch, a little cider, a nice ride out in the country. I think you have found the favorite place to tease our listeners this morning.
That's right. We've got Jeannie Middaugh, who she and her husband Chad own the Cider House and Upcycled Orchard. It's about 35 to 40 minutes outside Kansas City, and fabulous place to visit right now. Jeannie, good morning.
Hi.
So how did you and Chad get started with the orchard? And of course, you've both got a passion for locally grown food because you grew up in the agriculture industry your whole life. So tell us how you got started.
Well, it is just that I grew up on a farm. My parents actually started a seed business back in 1978, and my brother kind of in the mid-80s, when he was a freshman in high school, as an FFA project, started a strawberry stand. And so we all kind of had to get involved with that. We knew that we had to pay for cars in college and all those things. So my parents always said they would provide an opportunity to work, but we had to do the work. And so it kind of turned into a little more of a fruit market from there. And then there was actually an orchard right across the road that my dad actually helped the gentleman who started the orchard. He kind of helped him get started on planting the trees. And then he had a little market there also. So we ended up running the market part while he still took care of the trees. And him and his wife, Mr. Baxter, was his name at the time. And so, and then my grandma and great aunt got involved in making pies and bread and working with us, and then we built another facility and did the fruit market out of it and did the pies and bread there, and then started doing sandwiches. And then on the weekends, we started kind of a buffet dinner with grandma's cooking, and I waitressed. And so I've grown up in it. I love working with people. I've actually worked with our other farm business that my parents started, but we did most of that with the fruit market stuff in the summers. And so that's kind of the orchard that was there. We actually live just moved back out to the farm probably 9 years ago, and it came back up for sale about 3.5 years ago. It had been through a few different owners, and so it just tugged at my heart, and it was right there with where we were living, and my kids were at the ages of where they were going to start needing some summer work, and so we just decided to, we had enough on our plates that thought, what the heck?
Let's have something more.
Jump back into it. So
now, for listeners who may want to drive out to Garden City to see a pumpkin patch, you do have a small one. It's open through the end of October, but you also do farm-to-table dinners, and you have one more left this season. That's on November 11th,
right.
And it's Chef Jim Tinkham, correct?
Yes. We work with Chef Matt Chatfield has been one. He's kind of been my connection. We met him at a cooking class my husband and I went to in Lee Summit, and got connected with him and his wife Sophia, and phenomenal chefs, love working with them, amazing people. And then he has kind of introduced us to some other chefs. And so Jim was who I met through Matt, and he has been one of our other ones so far. So this will be his second farm-to-table dinner with us, and just amazing. We're so blessed to have the opportunity to work with them. They're so fantastic just as people and with their cooking. So,
well, let's talk just a little bit about working with local organizations for each dinner event, and what made you decide to do that?
I don't know. We felt like God has blessed us with being able to grow up on a farm and live out here, and we felt like, you know, if we had an opportunity to make each event have a purpose, that, you know, it's kind of a special event. We know it's not something necessarily for everyone, that, you know, we're bringing in a professional chef and it's a smaller group of people. But we felt like if we have the opportunity to work with an organization and bless them back in a time of getting together, that we would love to do that. And so we've just partnered with some like Orphans Hope. They help set up orphanages around mostly kind of in the Asia area. Restoration House of Kansas City is the one we're working with for October, and then November is an Uplift organization that works with homeless people in Kansas City. And so it's great because they can come in and kind of share a little bit about their organization, but, you know, everybody gets to come and just enjoy an amazing evening of food and just fun with each other. And so, yeah, we've loved getting the chance to do that.
So how do you and Chad work together? I mean, it sounds like you've got a great family venture. Have you worked together before? Is this the first time?
No, we have. We have worked together basically most of our marriage. He had another job when we started, and then it just kind of, I grew up in a family business, so that's all I've known is kind of grew up in a very entrepreneurial family. And so it was, when he was working somewhere else, it was a quick draw to kind of get him back involved. And so we've done several different things over the years. But this has been great because through the orchard and through the cider house and those things, our kids can be very involved there. You know, some things are harder to involve them with than others, and those things, they're there serving with us and working at the orchard and, you know, helping with pumpkins and whatever it is. On those things, we're able to involve them. And so, I mean, it brings its own challenges working with your family and with your husband all the time, but it's also an awesome blessing, and I wouldn't change it for anything. So
now, we didn't talk about the apple cider donuts and the apple cider slushies.
They're awesome.
And those famous pies that you've become known for.
Yes, they. I actually cooked with both of my grandmas. I baked with both of them, and so I kind of took baking things from both of them. And so one of my grandmas was Granny Doris, and the other one was Grandma Fela. So we call our pies Granny Fays. So our Granny Faye's baked goods is kind of a sticker that goes on there. And then we started getting into the cider donuts 2 years ago, and we came up with our own recipe, and it took, I never knew the challenges of getting a donut recipe with the right temperature and the right amount and it not to be doughy and all those things. It was, we had to kind of finagle it, but they're really good. We hear they're the best around, but you know.
And you know, you're teasing us right now, Kimberly. I don't know. It's fall. I'm mm-hmm. thinking cider donuts right now. I'm thinking slow food. Mm-hmm. Our local organization taking a little road trip up to see you.
You should.
And are you picking apples right now? Or is it too late?
No, we still have some. We are definitely getting towards the end of them, but we had a lot of people picking apples this last weekend. So they'll for sure make it through this weekend and maybe another one. But they are thinning out a little. But yeah, we would love to have you guys out. We'll treat you to some donuts and cider and apple picking. And
whoa, we're going to talk to you more. I'm telling you right now. How far again for our listeners are you from Kansas City, proper Kansas City?
We are about 30, 45 minutes. Yeah.
Nothing. That's easy. So, Garden City, Missouri.
Yeah. And we're a smaller, or you know, pumpkin patch compared to lots of them, what people know, you know, and can see. You might look us up because we're not something that's a huge facility if somebody's wanting to go for an all-day event, but they like the simplicity of coming out and, you know, enjoying that time with their kids and getting out in the apples. And we have different activities to do, and they can go out and pick their pumpkins. But
and that corn maze.
Yes, it's a small one. It's
looks
a small
beautiful.
One. For, next year, we're actually going to move it probably across the road and go for a little bigger one. But it's fun for the little kids, and we have some farm facts throughout the maze, so just people kind of know some little facts that are fun for the kids. And and a little hayride. My husband is the one that does the hayride with everybody, so you definitely get the whole family.
So you can go to the Facebook page and like them right now. It's Upcycled Orchard. You need to check it out because Kimberly, yes. Cider, donuts, pumpkins.
You're in heaven.
Yeah. I'm on the way, baby. You bet. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having us.
Live from Jasper's Kitchen is brought to you by Hen House Market, your market for 94 delicious years, including those delicious Tippins pies. Kimberly, I have to ask you something.
Okay.
You love to shop.
Mm-hmm.
You love to travel.
I do.
When you're out and about, you walk into a shop and you say, wow, that really inspired me.
Oh, totally. I get so many interior design ideas. I get cooking ideas.
That's
absolutely.
Me. That's me. Yeah. When I walk into a store mm-hmm. and I'll see restaurants, you know, some of their dishes mm-hmm. or some of their ingredients in the grocery stores. Yeah. And I get inspired that way myself. And you have found a person in New York City with a very, very unique book that I actually read from front to back. You'd be surprised, Kimberly. I did my homework on this
one. I'm proud of you, Jasper.
Well, it had New York in it. Come on.
We are so lucky. We have Tracy Crivels this morning with us from New York City. She's a food and travel journalist and the creator of the popular cooking and lifestyle blog, The NYC Kitchen, which if you don't follow it, it is absolutely fabulous. And Tracy has written a cookbook called The NYC Kitchen Cookbook. And it draws inspiration exactly, Jasper, as you were talking about, from food stores and markets that are all over New York City that make it one of the most diverse and appetizing destinations in the entire world. Tracy, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Sometimes we always have to ask our guests, you know, tell us a little bit about your what you're doing right now or the scenery. Are you in New York right now?
Yes, I am in New York.
In the city.
I'm in an old Italian neighborhood, so we still have a lot of the same shops that have existed for many decades.
Wow. My good friend Anna Nurse, I met her through the Beard House, used to take me around Brooklyn when I was younger, and I would be so inspired, you know, eating at the Italian restaurants and shopping, because we have nothing like that in Kansas City. And I'd come home and I just couldn't wait to create recipes. And of course, that's really what you have done here with the book. What are your top five shops in New York City that really give you the inspiration, especially for this book?
One would be DiPaolo's Fine Foods in Little Italy.
No doubt. Come on.
Yep. I know. Come on. It's an old Italian shop that's been run for decades by Lou and Sal, two brothers. And you can go in there and get mozzarella and prosciutto and fresh ravioli and big chunks of Parmesan. It's a wonderful, wonderful store. My other favorite is Kalusian's, which is an Indian spice store on Lexington Avenue in the 20s. And that store is more than just Indian. I mean, you can go in there and get a wide variety of
barbecue rubs and different kinds of salts and herbs and pepper and ancho chilies. Just it has any kind of ingredient imaginable. And another favorite is Fei Long Supermarket, which is Asian. So I'll go in there for noodles and Asian greens, fresh ginger, garlic, Asian paste and rubs, and it's an amazing store. And then I love to buy fresh bread. I'll go to Caputo's, which is an old school Italian bakery in my own neighborhood, Carroll Garden.
Wow, you've taken us on a really nice tour.
I'm hungry.
I think Jasper and I are just kind of gazing off.
I know, you're making me hungry now too.
So, okay, let's talk about when you go shopping and then looking at your pantry. What ingredients do you recommend that home cooks keep stocked for quick, globally inspired meals?
Yes, I love having sriracha for a little spice. I love cardamom. It's one of my favorite ingredients for dessert. I love Chinese five spice. I'll cover a chicken with that and throw in some oranges into the cavity of the chicken and roast that for a delicious Asian-inspired chicken. I love saba, which is that Italian, almost like a balsamic vinegar, but kind of sweet. Just drizzling that on some mozzarella is delicious. And I like to have different kinds of Middle Eastern ingredients like rose water and orange blossom water.
And a lot of these ingredients, Jasper, are, of course, reflected in the recipes in Tracy's cookbook, the NYC Kitchen Cookbook.
Okay, Tracy, I have to ask you, I mean, here, you're in Brooklyn. You're in. Mm-hmm. You walk through Bensonhurst. I wouldn't want to cook myself. I mean, I'm a chef, but I'm sitting there. I have all these wonderful places throughout Bensonhurst to walk around, and the bakeries and the cookie stores and the Brooklyn pork markets, et cetera, you have there. But, of course, you have to have some go-to meals yourself and that you'd like to cook. What are some of your go-to meals that you like to prepare and kind of quickly, you know, that you don't spend all day in the kitchen?
Yeah, I love roasted salmon for that reason, and it's a wonderful canvas for different types of ingredients. So one night I'll make it with berbere, which is a nice spicy North African spice, and I'll put in some vegetables into a baking pan and roast that, or I can put a miso pistachio crust on the salmon, or some mustard with some fresh herbs. So that's one of my go-to weeknight dinners.
I'm looking at the book and I see how you're using some, I don't know, maybe a little Asian and Vietnamese influence, even in the pasta dishes. You have a pasta with salmon and zucchini and Thai basil, 7-8 ingredients, very, very simple, something you can make in less than 30 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I hope to inspire people to make meals like this that are just, they're quick, but you can use some really wonderful global ingredients to add some more flavor to your dishes.
Tracy, I am a sweet hound. And of course, whenever I get a cookbook,
I knew that was coming.
The first thing I go to, I start at the back. And the thing I saw, because I love puddings, and I especially love rice pudding, and you've got a rice pudding with lychees and pine nuts that looks very simple and very delicious. That's on my list to try.
Oh, good. I hope you do try it. Yeah, I love rice pudding, too. I do love the classic vanilla, but I jazzed this one up with some Asian ingredients. And I have a 9-year-old daughter, and her favorite cuisine is anything Asian. Mm. So we tend to experiment with things like that.
And, of course, the vanilla chai pot au creme, please. Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I kind of chose that one, Kimberly. I knew you'd go to that one first.
Tracy, I know that readers can sign up to receive 3 recipes from your cookbook at newyorkcity.kitchen/cookbook. You can find out more about the book at newyorkcity.kitchen. And of course, we encourage our listeners to follow you because you're fascinating.
Oh, thank you very, very much.
And of course, they can go on Facebook and friend you. And it's called the New York City Kitchen, NYC Kitchen, rather. And you can see daily updates. I mean, just going through just yesterday what you put up, eggplant parmesan from Mary Carlo Magno and different. You treat other chefs and friends, and you post some of their recipes and books, et cetera. So
I like to sharing the food and drinks with everyone.
Tracy, we may give you a challenge here in Kansas City to New York City. Jasper has declared September as National Cannoli Month. He's known as the Cannoli King here in Kansas City. And it might be interesting for you, if you have the time and you're so inclined, to develop a recipe, a cannoli recipe, maybe with some world spices. Maybe.
Okay. Yeah, we'd love that.
Yeah,
okay.
It's different. Like, you know, it's very, But, you know, you hang around the Bensonhurst neighborhood, you mess around with those cannolis, Kim, you may be in a little trouble with the tradition.
That's true.
But I do like something like that. That's different. And there's, you know, all the different flavors. I can just imagine what you would come up with. We're going to keep in touch if you don't mind.
Yeah, we'd love to keep in touch. Right. Absolutely.
Of course, it's the NYC Kitchen. Make sure you pick up a copy. You can go online at Amazon.com or you can get one at your local bookstore right here in Kansas City at Rainy Day Books. We appreciate you coming on the show and taking time with us. I can only imagine what's in the future for you, my friend. Live from Jasper's Kitchen is brought to you by Hen House Market. Hen House is your local market since 1923. And don't forget, double ad Wednesdays, one day, two ads. That's right. And right now, it's all about the certified Hereford beef at your local Hen House Market. Fresh Kansas City strips, only $7 each. That's unbelievable. And of course, that 93% lean ground beef. But for you, Miss Kimberly, it's all about the BOGO.
It certainly is, Jasper. The Sea Bass cooked shrimp. Buy one, get one free.
Ooh, I'm liking that right now. And I'm thinking some of those beautiful artichokes, they're on sale right now with some of those shrimp. That could be a nice little recipe.
Mm-hmm, with some pasta. I love that. But you know what, Jasper? Large jack-o'-lanterns. And House has them.
That's right. We've been talking with the produce director, and he tells us the largest jack-o'-lanterns in Kansas City are at your neighborhood Hen House Market. 50 pounds or more, plus an assortment of over 30 different pumpkins. That's something else, Miss Kimberly.
And the large jack-o'-lanterns, Jasper? Three of them for
$12. Mm-hmm. I think it may be a mistake in my ad. No kidding. Three for $12 for a jack-o'-lantern. I'm going to load me up some of those. Kimberly, also, and all of our listeners, you're going to love my recipe this week. It's all about the Singapore noodles. One of my favorite dishes I've turned into my recipe of the week. And get ready for this. We're putting a little curry in this. It's a first for Jasper.
Wow, that's
mixed it up a little bit. It's Hen House Market, your market for 94 delicious years, including those delicious Tippins pies.
Jasper, do you like a little Neapolitan pizza?
Do I feel like it or do I want some?
Do you like it?
I thought you were going to ask me like, hey, do you want a little Italian today? Or, you know, do I want it? Do I like it? What a stupid question.
A little gelato, some wonderful salad.
Oh, stop it. Are you kidding? Do I want it? I want it right now.
And we are so lucky to have a partner and founder of Spin Pizza in with us this morning, Gail Lozoff, who is going to be talking to us about some of the new menu items that have been running for summer, beer tastings, outdoor dining on the patio. Just a lot of stuff, Jasper.
I'll tell you what, you are on top of things, Kimberly, when you get guests in here, and especially since it's summertime. And myself, I'm a little crazy for caprese, and I think that's what we're going to be enjoying here with Gail. Gail, welcome back.
Well, thank you. I'm really happy to be here.
Crazy for caprese, a little patsu, of course. Yeah. You know, I'm a little patsu anyway for caprese.
You're just a little patsu in general.
Exactly. Okay. Thank you.
Well,
thank
that's
you.
Another show. So, Gail, it's quite unusual for fast casual restaurants to serve seasonal menus, but you're known for introducing very creative seasonal items on a regular basis. And being lovers of Italian food and good food, we want to hear all about your new Crazy for Caprese menu items.
Well, you know, when we start planning our summer menu, we always start out with like 25 different ideas because there's so many great things you can do with pizza and summer produce and stuff. But this year we landed on wanting to use heirloom tomatoes and basil, which is a summer staple, obviously, in our items. And we, as a fast casual restaurant, we really have to choose carefully what items we put on so that we know that we can execute them in all of our restaurants and we can do a great job of it and there's not too much for guests to choose from. So we landed on a heirloom caprese salad, which is heirloom tomatoes and fresh mozz and fresh basil and a balsamic glaze, which is really yummy, and of course extra virgin olive oil. And then we decided that it would be fun to do a caprese pizza. So we're using the same heirloom tomatoes, and obviously the same mozzarella and basil, but also we've added our homemade pesto to the pizza, so it adds a nice little tang of of the Parmesan and olive oil and garlic and stuff. So wow. It's pretty yummy.
You've created that for us. You talk about theater of the imagination, Jasper.
Oh, I'll tell you right now. And on top of that, I'm on the website looking at the photos. And I remember the first time I was there when you first opened. I've told you the story before. My friend Judy Francini from Italy was in town. And we just came from the airport and we stopped on 119th right after you opened up. And here I'm taking a lady from Florence in for a pizza. And she was just overwhelmed. She just kept shaking her head. I can't believe this. I just can't get over this. I said, everything's up to date in Kansas City. Come on, what do you think we are? But I still remember that. And I still remember the original menu, of course, and Michael Smith collaborating and helping with the recipe development.
Right, and still does.
Wow.
Still does.
Oh, absolutely.
That's something else.
Yes.
And Nancy, I think, helps with cocktails.
She does, actually.
Sangria. And
the spin did, spin.
Yeah,
spin bin.
We did our third menu item for the summer is a peach, pear, basil sangria.
Uh-oh.
Which Nancy helped us with. And it's pretty yummy, too. We had to add a little basil to our sangria.
Well, you know, Gail, spin has been known. When did you open? When did you open the first
2005.
Store? Okay. You've always been known for collaborating with the community in some way, shape, or form, whether it's pups on the patio. I can't remember what that's called.
Yeah, that was pretty close.
Pups on the patio that you donate some of the proceeds to an animal shelter. But you're also, this summer, you've been collaborating with local breweries to do some craft beer tastings.
We are. We actually did it last summer as well. And you know, there's just so many great craft breweries.
I know. I can't keep up with it.
You can't keep up with it. And we love the way that, you know, it works when they come to spin. They set up a nice little table and pour samples for all of our guests. And sometimes they bring stuff that we raffle off.
Very fun.
So we've got tasting set up pretty much all summer long, mostly at Main Street and Burlington Creek. This summer.
Mm-hmm. So people can go online to your website to check out the dates.
Yes.
Perfect.
Yes.
Okay, now, since the beginning, I mean, Spin has really been one of the first restaurants to offer bike rides. And this is really unique. So tell us all about the locations and the bike rides this summer for, what is it, Bike for ALZ?
We have show and go bike rides 4 times a week where people are welcome to come gather in our parking lots at Overland Park on Mondays, Burlington Creek on Tuesdays, our Main Street South Plaza store on Wednesdays, and Lee Summit on Saturdays. And then there's 20% off meal after
And those
the
are
ride.
Popular. Those are popular rides.
They're popular, and they're a lot of fun, and they're really great routes. They're routes that we've established over many years, and so they're really great tours of Kansas City.
And what an incentive to go on a bike ride knowing that there's pizza and gelato and beer and cocktails afterwards.
And a lot of fun and a lot of camaraderie. And stuff.
Do you have to ride on the bike or can you just wait at the end?
Well, you have to come in spandex, Jasper.
Okay, Jasper.
I can do that.
That's a new challenge.
Oh, you guys think I'm going to play games? I've worn a tutu before. You think I don't care?
Tutu and spandex.
That's right.
You're there. So... talk to us, too, about your patios, because people in Kansas City love patios. I don't know if it's because there's one long season where we can't be outdoors, so we're rabid for patios. And Spin has some of the best in the city.
Well, we love our patios. They're incredibly casual. Each one has a little bit different character depending on where it is in the Crown Center. One is like right in the middle of Crown Center. The 119th Street in Overland Park one is in a little alleyway between
two buildings. Oh, I love that.
That's
from the beginning. That's the one I said with those lights hanging. Yeah. Remind me of being on a little piazza. And I don't care if you say 119th is busy or not. That was something else.
Yeah, that was
It still is today.
Really, really fun one. And
10 locations. I mean, come on. Just in Kansas City.
We do. Yeah.
Off the record. How many? Well, we're not off the record. We're just going to say it. How many locations nationwide now?
We have 17, and we're getting ready to open another one in Omaha, which will be our 18th.
Wow. So you have one in California, or maybe several.
One, yeah.
One, and then where else?
Dallas, right by the SMU. I know that one.
Yeah, four in Dallas. Your daughter goes there, right? And one in Omaha.
Very good. Yeah. Very good.
That's something else. Well, it's always great to have you in here. And, of course, when we're talking pizza and gelato and Italian sangria, I don't think it gets any better, Miss Kimberly.
Spin is, I told you, Mr. G and I go to Spin on Sunday nights. Not as regularly as we used to, but still very, very often.
But y'all are so innovative. I could just imagine what's on the horizon. Fall and winter coming up. I mean, maybe the Pazzo Caprese. I still call it Pazzo now, and that's my new name for it. The Crazy Caprese will stay on the menu, but I can just imagine the new menus coming out because you all are always working in just a, you know, just a little bit farther than everybody else with your innovation.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
We thank you for coming on today.
What a jewel Kansas City has in Spin.
Mamma mia, Spin Pizza. Live from Jasper's Kitchen is brought to you by Hen House Market. Hen House is your local market since 1923. And don't forget, double ad Wednesdays, one day, two ads. That's right. And right now, it's all about the certified Hereford beef at your local Hen House Market. Fresh Kansas City strips, only $7 each. That's unbelievable. And of course, that 93% lean ground beef. But for you, Miss Kimberly, it's all about the BOGO.
It certainly is, Jasper. The Seabass cooked shrimp. Buy one, get one free.
Ooh, I'm liking that right now.
But you know what, Jasper? Large jack-o'-lanterns. And House has them.
That's right. We've been talking with the produce director, and he tells us the largest jack-o'-lanterns in Kansas City are at your neighborhood Hen House Market. 50 pounds or more, plus an assortment of over 30 different pumpkins. That's something else, Miss Kimberly.
And the large jack-o'-lanterns, Jasper? Three of them? Four?
$12?
Mm-hmm.
I think it may be a mistake in my ad. No kidding. Three for $12 for a jack-o'-lantern? I'm going to load me up some of those. You're going to love my recipe this week. It's all about the Singapore noodles. One of my favorite dishes I've turned into my recipe of the week. And get ready for this. Putting a little curry in this. It's a first for Jasper.
Wow, that's
mixed it up a little bit. It's Hen House Market, your market for 94 delicious years, including those delicious Tippins pies. Kimberly, we have brought in a special guest today to talk about something that, you know, is really, really important to a lot of our listeners.
Absolutely.
And I think this is really something that it's not something that when you're jumping on the bandwagon. Or, let's do fat-free this week.
It's
or
a trend,
or something like that.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. It's not trendy at all.
And despite the rise in popularity of the gluten-free diet as a weight loss fad, it's actually the only current treatment for celiac disease, which, of course, is a serious genetic autoimmune disorder. And we have Dr. Chad Schaefer in with us this morning, who has celiac disease, has gone through, his story is incredible, and he looks at the picture of health. I'm looking at him right now. He's tanned, he's thin, he's got this big smile on his face, but he still has some issues to deal with. And actually, he's participating in the Step Beyond Celiac KC 5K Run, Walk, and Car Show on October 14th. So we wanted to get in to talk him in to talk about celiac. And it's a very personal issue for you. Can you tell us just in a nutshell your story?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, thank you, Chad.
Yeah. Well,
Chad and I go back a little farther, and Chad, I never knew anything was going on when I first met you. I didn't know there was a problem. You would ask me to cook something special for you. One was my famous chocolate dessert that we now have on the menu.
So sometimes people refer to this as an invisible disease. If you look at me, you would never know.
There you go.
Just like
however,
I
have an unusually severe form of celiac. It's known as refractory celiac. And despite this strict gluten-free diet, the autoimmune damage continues with a lot of ongoing severe health issues. I was first diagnosed with celiac disease about 8 years ago. And at that time, I weighed about 100 pounds.
Wow.
And how tall are you?
6'1".
Okay.
You'd be kidding me.
I was so weak that I had to begin to use knee braces and crutches to get around, and eventually a wheelchair. I was practicing medicine at the time and had to stop practicing medicine. That ended my career as a doctor. I then developed some cardiac issues and had a cardiopulmonary arrest at my house where my wife did CPR and revived me. I then developed some precursor cells for an untreatable gut lymphoma. These are all known complications of long-standing, untreated celiac disease. With an amazing amount of ongoing treatments, I'm still here, and I'm doing a lot better. I sort of have a new outlook on life. Mm-hmm. The point is that celiac disease can be quite serious, and not everyone responds to the diet. Mm. That's why we such desperately need a cure.
It's a pretty rare celiac disease. I mean, I find a lot of customers asking me to do gluten-free, but sometimes I don't always know if they're 100% because then they'll follow up with a dessert, and I say, well, I thought they were, you know, celiac, or no, we're doing gluten free. So I get a little confused.
So celiac disease, we were taught in medical school it was a rare disorder. Turns out that that's actually not the case. It's about as prevalent as type 1 diabetes, which we've all heard of. It affects about 1 in 133 people, which is 1% of the population. There's an estimated about 3 million people in the U.S. with celiac disease.
Wow.
It is largely undiagnosed or misdiagnosed. The statistics say somewhere around 85% of people have been undiagnosed or misdiagnosed. And that's why Step Beyond Celiac KC5K is so important in raising the awareness and raising money for research.
Let's talk about gluten. You can't eat gluten. So what does that mean exactly?
Well, you know, that sounds like that's such a bad thing. And turns out it's a challenge, but it's not such a bad thing. Mm-hmm. Gluten is the protein that is found primarily in wheat, rye, and barley. So any type of foods that contain any of those ingredients, including things like regular pizza, bread, and unfortunately for me, beer. So that's why I'm encouraged about the progress that's being made with celiac disease research. So maybe one day I'll be able to have a nice cold beer again.
Crack a cold one open, right?
Right.
Well, that's what you can't eat. But what are some of the favorite foods that you can eat that you've really, now that you've become gluten-free? I know it's kind of challenging, but now you've found some great foods and things that you're just so accustomed to. It's just everyday life.
Yeah. So, you know, one thing you can do is focus on the healthy foods that we can eat. And the safe foods, eliminating a lot of the processed foods helps a lot. Many non-processed foods are naturally gluten-free, mm-hmm. such as dairy, meats, fruits, and vegetables. And we all know we're supposed to eat more of those, right? There are plenty of gluten-free grains, too, such as rice, buckwheat, and quinoa. But my favorite foods tend to be gluten-free pasta. I like fresh steak and seafood dishes. And one of my favorites is a chocolate dessert that Jasper makes for me at the restaurant.
Well, thank you, Chad. I got to tell you, we do a gluten-free pasta from Barilla. Some people say Barilla, but, my sister-in-law has been serving it for 2 years. And for the first year, no one in my family knew it was gluten-free.
And it's delicious.
The cut of mozzarella is just, and I have it at the restaurant, and I'm telling you, I'll put up against any pasta, and I'm not paid to say that. And they don't give me free pasta to talk about that.
Foods are readily, available now, much more so than they were 5-10 years ago. However, the cross-contact and cross-contamination in restaurants or even at home can be a problem. For example, a restaurant, they may have gluten-free options on the menu. They still have to be very careful in the preparation of the food to avoid gluten ingredients coming in contact with that.
You and I had a long conversation about this.
We have. So things like toasters, cooking surfaces, knives, cutting boards, counters, preparation methods, even the way that the server brings the plate out can accidentally make a gluten-free meal unsafe for me. That's a big reason why people with celiac disease need a treatment beyond just the gluten-free diet.
So gluten-free is not just, the diet's just not going to magically heal you.
Correct.
Yeah. So tell us about this organization that you're raising money for on the 14th.
So this is really exciting because it's kicking off here in Kansas City. Beyond Celiac is a national organization that's leading the way in patient advocacy on celiac disease research. They're celebrating their 15th anniversary in 2018. The Kansas City KC5K Step Beyond Celiac event is the first of its kind in our nation, and our local committee is leading the way at a grassroots level to support their work and get celiac disease research moving forward.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Wow, I had no idea. It's a Step Beyond Celiac, the KC5K run, walk, and car show. Of course, had to put that car show in there.
We got
to
have cars.
Yeah, come on, there's no doubt about it. So it's next Saturday, October 14th. The race starts at 8 a.m., the car show at 9 a.m. That means I only have to walk for like an hour is all.
Right.
Oh, I could do that. That's no problem at all. And what's really great, there's a food drive benefiting Food Equality Initiative, a local food pantry helping those with severe allergies and celiac disease. There's a website they can go to, isn't there?
Yes. StepBeyondCeliac.org.
And where is it being held?
Community America Ballpark.
Okay. Where the T-Bones play.
Yeah, right out there by the Legends.
Absolutely.
Well, Kimberly, this is really something because, I mean, for me as a chef, it's not a new way of learning to cook or anything. It's things I can do in my kitchen and in a separate kitchen to help people because, like we said right from the beginning of the show, celiac disease, celiac, people asking for gluten-free, it is not a trend, Chad.
Right. Thank you. You're going to be our go-to expert.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you having us.
And I apologize. I say Chad all the time. It's Dr. Chad, and I respect that. So
thank you
for
very much,
coming
Jasper.
In. I appreciate it.
Yeah.